Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Happy Thursday evening to all of you out there in the Bay Area. We welcome you to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you. And Saint, what a night in San Antonio last night. That's where we will start this hour off. If you want to hit us up, join the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number. But Saint, a night after showing not a whole lot of fight in Oklahoma City, boy, did they bring the fight to the Spurs on Wednesday for that 125-120 win.
Well, Kev, you know, that's what winning teams that have championship pedigree, they do this kind of thing. And you can have a coaches meeting with the players, or you can have a players only meeting. And evidently, what was shared was effective. I was listening to Steve before we went on the air, and he went through everything. And, Draymond had a lot of comments that we read about today. And you got two super performances from Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, and you had great coaching by Steve Kerr and his staff with changes to the starting lineup and the rotation.
Yeah, I want to get into those individual performances from Draymond, from Jimmy Butler, from Stephen Curry, of course. But this could have gotten sideways early on. They were down 28 to 4 in one quarter. They couldn't hit the backside of a barn, Saint. And that game could have gone the other way, but they certainly dug deep. And I'm just going to say it. Look, I know it's game 13, and I can't remember other game 13s from other seasons, but it's hard to find, I think, a more important game 13 win in franchise history, if you will, because the Warriors really did need that one last night, considering how Tuesday went, considering how the last road game in Denver went, where they lost by 25 points. This was much needed.
Well, it sure was. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster in that they started terrific. And I watched them and I'm saying, holy moly, are they this good? And then things kind of fell off the tracks a little bit. The cohesion on defense was not there. And we had a lot of games with a lot of turnovers. And if you look at last night, the assist turnover ratio again was terrific. And you know, you had to dig into your bag as a coaching staff and come up with something with Wemby. And, Kev, we're a little bit of a copycat league. And Phoenix kind of started this by playing a smaller guy against Wemby. And the Lakers followed it up a game or so right after that, and they had Smart on them. And so now you got Draymond, who's used to doing this, playing bigger guys. And you know, I can go way back. Let's take a little history of the Warriors. Nelly put Jackson on Nowitzki, which was a great move, a smaller guy against the big. Then I'll go way, way, way back to 1990 or 91. We were playing the San Antonio Spurs. They had David Robinson. They had a guy we had in Milwaukee, Terry Cummings, who was their best low post player. You know what we did? We put Mario Elie, who was 6'4", on Terry Cummings, who was 6'9", 255. And Mario had a few welts on his head, but it was very successful. We handled that beautifully, and it threw them out of whack. And we went on to sweep them. So these are the chess games that take place with NBA coaches. And you're going to see something tomorrow, I'm sure, with San Antonio making an adjustment here. They're trying to find their way with this fabulous young player, getting him better looks and being less crowded.
The series you're mentioning, I want to say, is 1991. It was like a 2-7 matchup, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we
Golden State was a 7.
Amazing. Yeah. And we were in the old Alamo, and That's Mully, Mitch, Timmy, and you know, winning road playoff games, there's not much better than that. And then you win a game like last night, and you look around your locker room, and you know, as Steve said, he didn't really talk much about Steph Curry and about Butler. It was, you know, the role guys. You know, look at Peyton and look at the emergence of Richard. And he gave a lot of praise to Draymond. You know, he's the heart and soul of this thing. And so it's beautiful to watch when it's clicking.
So Draymond Green, let's pick it up there, because at one point, and this might have been his final stat line, I had read a couple of different things. Wembanyama was 0-for-7. Yeah. On his first seven shots when guarded by Draymond Green. And Bob Fitzgerald on TV saying, it's probably the best 1-for-10 shooting performance you'll see, because Draymond wasn't hitting anything offensively until he had that layup to make it 114-108. That was a very big bucket in that situation. Yeah. But to me, you look at the performance defensively that Draymond had last night, and he's still got to very much be in the NBA Defensive Player of the Year convo at 35. Yeah. He's going to turn 36 in March. And I'd say he's a lock, if he stays healthy, to make his 10th all-defensive team. And Raymond Ritter, there's a story written that Raymond Ritter showed Draymond a list of the guys who have made 10 all-defensive teams. And, I mean, these are the best of the best. We're talking about Kobe. We're talking about Scottie Pippen. And Draymond said it really provided motivation for him. And it hasn't just been this performance against Victor Wembanyama. He has been very good defensively all year, breaking up three-on-ones by himself. And last night was the crown jewel to this point in this season for Draymond.
Yeah, who cared that he didn't make many hoops? Who cares? Really, he's the facilitator on offense, moving the ball, setting screens, finding Steph on back cuts. And on the defensive end, you went a little smaller, so now he's got to match up and take that pounding of the five spot. But he's very willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I just loved, Kev, his footwork when he was guarding Wembanyama on the catch, say on the elbow, which is the intersection of the free throw lane and free throw line. And he really traced the ball in Wembanyama's hand. So he had one hand, if Wemby brought it over this side, then he'd bring this hand up and he's sliding his feet, and his shot contestment, you know, he's 6'6 on a good day, and Wemby might be 7'6 on a good day.
Yeah.
And son of a gun, Draymond was way above his head a couple times, above Wemby's head contesting. And I said, look at that. That's just fantastic. It was textbook is what it was.
Well, we've been praising Draymond Green. Let's hear from Steve Kerr on the impact of Draymond from last night's win over San Antonio.
I told the coaches this is like such a Draymond night. He's got the highest plus minus on our team. He's one of the most impactful guys. The way he guarded Wemby was incredible. And then you look at the box score. He's, you know, 1-for-10, fouls out, 4 turnovers. But the guy just wins. He's a winner. And the way he and Steph have, you know, played together over the last decade, that continuity is one of the reasons we're still here competing.
Yeah, that's a pretty darn astute statement by Coach Steve Kerr. He knows these guys' strengths and weaknesses, and they know when they get on the floor, they make sweet music. And you can debate that combo has had as much success as any in the last decade. And it's really unique because they're such different players, but yet they help each other impact the game.
Like, he wasn't the only one who guarded Wemby. Joseph Dykus of Bay Area News Group, in his post-game write-up for Bang, noted that five guys guarded Wemby in the first half alone. In addition to Draymond, you had Horford, you had Kuminga, who didn't play in the second half because of the bilateral knee soreness, Will Richard and Jimmy Butler. And look, Wemby still had 31, 15, and 10, but a lot of his shots were contested, and he did turn it over 8 times. So, I mean, if that's if he's going to get a 30-point triple-double against you, at least it came at that expense.
Well, he almost had the quadruple. If he had a couple more turnovers, we haven't seen many of those. Alvin Robertson, a few others. I've got to think back, but You know, this young guy, I marvel at him, and I love listening to him talk, and he's mature beyond his age, and he's really growing as a player. He's a guy who put in a lot of work this summer, Kev. He's a lot stronger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved the game before. They were coming up to set a screen at the end of the game. He told the guy to get the heck out of there. They flattened it out to a 1-4. He went left and then took a step back three and hit nothing but net. And I'm saying, yeah, are you kidding me? This is amazing.
Back-to-back threes in the final minute to defeat the Chicago Bulls. I mean, it was unreal. And since you mentioned Alvin Robertson, I have to mention his son, Elgin Cook, played for the Santa Cruz Warriors in the 16-17 season. I had a chance to ask Elgin about his dad getting that quadruple-double. He's like, oh, yeah, he talks about it all the time. Like, I'm not sure if he had shown him the tape or not. I think he's like, I've seen the tape of it. But, like, I mean, yeah, the quadruple-double. I've seen Luka and Westbrook get it with turnovers. But Robinson, Alvin got it with steals, not turnovers. It was like a legit quadruple-double. Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities in Westbrook and in Robertson as far as
athleticism. Oh, yeah, I mean, I never watched Alvin, obviously, but –
oh, he was in San Antonio. He was tremendous. Really a lot alike. Just great big-time motor, great instincts, just really a cool comparison.
Yeah, no, I mean, and Russell Westbrook still doing it this year, obviously getting the triple-double a week ago against the Golden State Warriors. We are coming up on a break, but before we do send it to break, do want to let you know that Dub Nation, you can get crew neck designed by Oaklandish. When you spend $50 at Warriors Shop with Rakuten, score this deal today. This offer is only valid while supplies last. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, there is so much more to cover from this game in San Antonio last night. We haven't even touched on Steph's 46, the Jimmy Butler effect. We'll go over the new starting lineup that Steve Kerr employed. And we're taking your calls. Again, hit us up, 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the show and talk some more of your Shooty Hoop. We are here with you until the top of the hour, until 7 p.m. So hit us up, and we'll get back to it on the other side of this timeout right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Tis the season to celebrate the Warriors with the Holiday Hoops mini plans. Visit warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP to purchase now, and call 888-957-9570 to hit up the saintly one and myself. Taking your calls till 7 p.m. here on 95.7 The Game. Still talking about that win over San Antonio last night, and let's discuss Stephen Curry's 46-point performance, because the first thing that kind of stood out to me about this performance is you hear so much talk about Steph being the best shooter of all time, but it just undercuts everything else that makes him great, because this is a game where he didn't really have his three going. He was 5 of 15 or 5 of 16 from downtown. Checking the box, he was 5 of 16 from downtown, so he was 8 of 9 on twos, and a lot of that was getting to the rim, drawing fouls on Wemby in the lane. I remember that there was that one where he had Wemby on his back. He just kind of jumped back into him to get himself to the foul line. That was really impressive. And, I mean, he just kind of, even at the age of 37, his second game back from illness, he got to wherever he wanted to go.
Well, obviously, we're talking about the greatest shooter ever in the game. So what do other coaches try to do? They want to get him off that line, and they want to get contestment. So what's going to happen here? He's underrated in his movement without the ball. He has tremendous purpose in what he's doing. Whether it's by himself, where he's denied the ball and he back cuts, and a lot of that happens with Draymond or somebody up top reading the overplay, and you see the cut. Steph is amazing at that. Then let's put him underneath the basket, and he gets a big screening for him, a small, and he uses that screen, unbelievable. And His finish at the rim has gotten nothing but better and better as years go on. And one last thing, Kev, I think he doesn't get enough credit for his handle, for his ball handle.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, he, you know, we talk a lot about Kyrie Irving maybe being the best. Well, okay, if you want to say that, but Steph's right up there. And he's tremendous creating the step back that he loves at the three-point line. He'll use a man setting a pick for him, cause a switch, put that guy in harm's way. Sometimes a guy will run at him. We call it a sidestep instead of a step back, where he'll pump fake, let the guy run by him.
Yep.
One dribble to the left or right. There's a book should be written on his skills offensively. I mean, it's truly amazing. Every night I watch him, I just smile. We all have to embrace this. We can think about the greatest athletes we've had in the Bay Area, and we can have a big debate on who maybe the best is. But in the game of basketball, this guy is truly, truly amazing.
Yeah, he has been a transcendent talent for 17 years. And how about his little homage in San Antonio to Tim Duncan last night, huh? Two mid-range bank shots from Stephen Curry, and they were intended bank shots. I'm not sure if Tim Duncan was going through his mind, look, I'm in San Antonio, I got to hit a couple off the glass. Probably not, but like those were impressive shots too.
Well, the crazy thing is here, can you remember many bank shots for him? Not many.
Couple, but yeah,
now,
not. I mean,
him, he might have paid homage to Duncan, but I would bet Duncan probably wasn't even watching the game. That's the way he is now. You're talking about special with Duncan, but yeah, those were great. As my old buddy Bill Raftery would say, a little kiss.
Bill Raftery, one of the greatest college basketball color commentators there is. So, Steph,
the two years I was with the Nets, he called the games.
Oh, really? I didn't know he did NBA.
Steve Albert. Yeah, he did it for a few years, and I can tell you that we wet the whistle many a night after a game. And I'm going to tell you what, we haven't had many better people in the history of basketball calling games. Now, he coached long ago, and he was a heck of a player, too.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just know him for onions and the like. But, he is one of the best. But another highlight from last night for Steph, he passed Alex English for 23rd the all-time scoring list, 70 points passing Vince Carter for 22nd. And I'm just kind of looking at how high he can go. And so I figure, look, he's got this year plus next year on this contract alone. And he has said he wants to play beyond this contract, or he feels like he could play beyond this contract.
Yeah.
But if he only played these next 2 years, I'd say, you know, I'm giving him 1,500 points a year. That's like 25 points per game at 60 games. If he plays 65 games, it's a little bit less than that. That would put him at 2,700 points more. That could get him into the top 10. He would get past Carmelo Anthony. He would get past Russell Westbrook, right around Shaquille O'Neal. Now, James Harden's still going to be probably ahead of him. But like, if he continues to play at this rate, we could be looking at a top 10 scorer in NBA history.
Oh, there isn't any doubt about it. Kev, I'll give you a little sidebar here. Alex English.
Okay.
So he left the Bucks the year before I came. He left in 78. And you know how much money was the bargaining chip on the table that the Bucks decided not to pay?
$50,000. Under $100,000?
$50,000. $50,000. Wow. And off he went to Doug Moe and the Denver Nuggets, and it's all history there. What a player.
Man, yeah. And yeah, those Denver Nuggets teams, obviously they were before my time. I remember there was a game against the Pistons. It was like 187 to 184 or something in triple overtime. It's the highest scoring game in NBA history. Like, I wish I was alive to watch those games, because – I can't imagine how fun it would have been to watch those teams play.
We went in there one night and it was 162 to 160. And Nelly had a sworn oath with the players. Just put your hand when you want to get out, put it up. I'll promise I'll put you back in within a minute. And of course you're playing at that altitude and that pace, it just gets you. And I can remember a lot of fun games there. That's quite a place to play.
Well, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in here on the show. And let's head out to Bob in Reno, who wants to talk a little Will Richard. What's going on, Bob?
What's up, KD and Gary? How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Bob.
Great.
Thanks for calling in.
Doing good, man. Good to hear you guys. It's good to be on the roundtable for the first time this season. Just wanted to talk to you guys. Like, Will Richard's been looking really good, looking like a true veteran. And
yeah.
I know he's a rookie, but he's looking like he knows just how to adjust to the game really well, work with Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond. I mean, do you guys think he could be a permanent fit in the starting lineup and maybe exceed a little bit? I feel like nothing's really permanent besides Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy.
Well, that's a darn good point on your part. I got to tell you, he's impressive. Now, my man here, Kevin, he told me when we did the summer league, he said, now, Saint, watch this kid. He's really going to be a good player. And we watched him defend in the summer league, and he was impressive. He was complete in the sense that he could guard on the ball and had a very good understanding of fundamentals off the ball, which you need in the NBA. And then the ability to make the three, that's a necessity when you're a wing player. So he's got it. He competes. He's smart. And I'm not sure what's going to happen here. We may have more changes as we go along here, but I like the combination. It feels good to me. And I wish him luck because he's fun to watch.
Yeah, you come into this season, or I came into this season thinking, all right, Will Richards, number 56 pick. I know what happens with a lot of late 50s picks. They play in the G League. And so my expectation coming into this season was that he was going to be a Santa Cruz Warrior more often than he was going to be a Golden State Warrior. Well, early on in training camp, you could see how much trust he had earned from Steve Kerr. He started a preseason game in Portland, and he fit seamlessly. And the message at the time from Steve Kerr was that, look, we want to see how it looks like with Will Richard going up against the number ones of the other team. Obviously, it worked out well. And this is a guy who, I mean, maybe, you know, once D'Anthony Melton gets back and you know, the Warriors get to more full strength, maybe he goes to Santa Cruz just to get some rust off. But there are some rookies who need to play in the G League to learn the NBA game. Will Richard does not need to play in a single G League game because he already knows the NBA game. But Bob, thank you so much for calling up. Again, 888-957-9570 is the number. And you can join us live at Chase Center on Friday, November 21st, as the Dubs face the Portland Trailblazers presented by CarMax. All fans get a Warriors Cup Games t-shirt. That will be an NBA Cup game. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. Of course, the game on Friday coming up tomorrow in San Antonio will also be an NBA Cup game. We're going to take a break. When we come back, talk a little more about the win over San Antonio, and we'll take a look forward to the rest of this road trip right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors in San Antonio, PM on the air, 6:30 tip time with Tim Roy on the call. That is an NBA Cup game. The road trip continues in New Orleans Sunday, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. here on 95.7. And then off to the Sunshine State, taking on the Orlando Magic next Tuesday, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time. And the road trip concludes in Miami Wednesday, November 19th, back end of the fifth back-to-back of the season in the first month to that point, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time. And then back home, Warriors Cup games presented by CarMax, Warriors in Portland, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time, Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. That's a look at what's ahead, but it's still reliving a little bit of this win over the San Antonio Spurs. We haven't even talked about Jimmy Butler yet, and this was a vintage Jimmy game. I mean, his ability to get to the line, it was a game changer last year when the Warriors traded for him. His 12 free throws really helped settle this one down. And how about his three-point shooting, Zane? I mean, he was 5 of 7 from deep. He's 47% on threes this season. I know it's a small sample size, 14 of 30, but he looks good taking them, and he had some big ones last night.
Shoot the ball. You know what? People aren't crowding him. They don't want to get up in his grill. So what happens is he gets a lot of good luck looks, and just taking a few. Then just keep him honest, and then we all know about his abilities to facilitate. He can create shots for others that are beautiful. He gets to the rack. He gets to the free throw line. And he's pretty darn unique to play with. And I'm sure the guys told him, hey, we need you to shoot a little bit more. We can't have you just taking three shots. And we all know he's a heck of a defender. And I think this is going to, you know, hug him. Tell him what a great game he played, because this is not maybe five made threes, but just – this kind of game is what really Jimmy Butler's all about. And I think it makes the Warriors very unique.
Yeah, you mentioned just three shots for Jimmy Butler. That was in the Tuesday game against Oklahoma City. They got down 36. They lost by 24. And as we do go back to that game just briefly, I mean, what I guess kind of made it alarming, yes, they didn't have – this was the first game with Steph coming back from the illness, but it was like the second straight game on the road where the team got blown out. And I thought they were semi-competitive in Denver, like for two-plus quarters. They made a run to cut it to one early second quarter, kind of hung around for the first couple of minutes of the third, and then kind of let go of the rope. But so you kind of have back-to-back – I'm not going to say panic road losses, but I mean, Steph Curry put this on a 4 on the panic meter out on a scale of 10. I mean, how much did this game have you worried?
Well, really a lot, because some things were glaring. The turnovers, live ball turnovers, leading to a big point differential on fast break points. And the transition defense, I thought, was poor. And with that said, I thought in both games the energy was inconsistent. It needed to be at a higher level. You're playing against special teams. You could argue that Denver and OKC are the top two in the West. And not making excuses, because those teams are pounding everybody else. They're just playing fabulous basketball. But the good news is the guys found themselves. I think there's going to be carryover tomorrow night. I'm going to watch for the chess match with this young head coach, Mitch Johnson, a Stanford guy. I might make note of that, Kev.
Oh, yeah. And, that's right. My God.
And so it'll be a fun game to watch. I'm interested in seeing what goes on there. And I, you know, when you talk about lifting your energy, guy we haven't talked about, well, look at that team. You're going to put Peyton in there.
Yes.
That guy, he doesn't know how to not play hard. And he plays like a big guy, for crying out loud. And, you know, you got that from Richard. And, you know, you and I are moody guys. And Steve made the point that he's missed training camp and, you know, had a little calf strain there. But I'm still thinking that this guy can really have a heck of a year. I think the game... Kev, you know where I'm going here. The game is slowing down for him. I think he understands the defense very well. He understands when there's a good shot, when to move it. He's not holding it. And, you know, we brought up Kuminga, and we might as well chat about it. I'm not going to point the finger at him. We loved early the way he was rebounding and the way he was passing the basketball. Now, maybe he's got a little tendinopathy with the knee, but he can get back. This isn't like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on here? You know what? They'll have good chats with him. And I think it's a matter of holding on to the ball a little bit too long and just take what's given and play within the flow of the game.
So to your point, first six games for Kuminga, 17.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 55 from the field, 45 from three. Last six, not including Wednesday because he was hurt, didn't play the second half.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to count those numbers. 12.3 points, 6.2 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 41 from the field, and 19 from three. And Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group, also he looked at some advanced numbers to the point about him holding the ball. He is holding the ball and dribbling it a little more than he was in his first six games. So
yeah,
there is something to that, but it is a small sample size. And look, hopefully Kuminga can get all right, get all right healthy, and get back to kind of his early season ways. To go back to Gary Payton II, I was on a couple of recent Warriors road trips, and it always, I got a chance to watch a couple of practices, and I always gave a little chuckle to myself. You know how they break down practices into littles and bigs?
Yeah.
You know, big shoot he's on this end, little shoot. He's with the bigs. Exactly. You know, Bob Fitzgerald calls him the little big man, and he really is. And you've heard some things this year, or reading some articles. All right, maybe he's lost a step on defense. Well, and he hadn't been in the rotation much. He still has the athleticism. I mean, he's in his early 30s. And look, 1995, 32, 33 years old is a little different from 2025, 32, 33 years old. These guys know how to take care of himself. And he still warms up pregame by hitting his head on the backboard. Like, he still has the hops. Like, and he's not using his, when he jumps up, he's not using his arms to, like, you know, kind of, you know, how you'll jump, you kind of like, you know, get up there, you use your arms. He doesn't use his arms. He just hits his head on, like, kind of the padding of the bottom of the backboard. So he can still get up there. There is still very much a rotation player there in GP2.
I'm a fan. I loved his dad's tenacity and toughness and winning ways. And this guy here, another thing he does, Kev, during the warm-ups, maybe it's when he comes out early versus the two Lions warm-ups. He's always talking to the kids that are courtside.
Yes.
I love it. I love watching him. He makes you feel energized, and he's got to be terrific to play with. So I hope he can get a few minutes as we keep going here. And I don't care that he doesn't make a wide open three or whatever. He'll go to his strengths. Stay the heck away from your weaknesses.
So four games left on this road trip now.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Doug Moe, and I wanted to bring up Doug Moe. When you're talking about the Denver Nuggets and Doug Moe, the Doug Moe standings. And Brian Windhorst has been talking about this in his podcast. Basically, the Doug Moe standings.
Is he?
Plus one for a road win, minus one for a home loss. And right now, the Warriors are undefeated at home, and they have two road wins, so they're plus two. Though I'm sure they'd rather be much better than 2-6 on the road. The way I look at this, 3-3 on this six-game road trip, the way I broke it down in my head is you go 1-2 against Oklahoma City and San Antonio, and you go 2-1 against New Orleans, Orlando, and Miami. If you're at 9-8 with 17 games in 30 days to start the season, considering you had a six-game road losing streak, I think you take that and you don't ask questions.
And, Kev, how many of those are road games?
Yeah, I mean, let's see, because they're 5-0 at home right now, right? They're 5-0-2,
yeah.
So it would be 12 road games? Yeah, 12 road games out of 17.
After this trip.
Wow. After this trip.
Now, let's take a quick look at this. You bring up a good point. You're going to go to New Orleans, and I think today Williamson started doing some stuff on the court. He's had a hamstring issue. You're going to go to Orlando, and last night, Van Carroll strained his hamstring. And you know darn well, in today's game, when it's a calf or a hamstring, teams are being very, very conservative.
Yeah.
So he may not play. But that darn Wagner, man, that kid's a heck of a player. And then you move on to Miami, and Hero's not playing, and what's his name, Adebayo? He's out too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, hey, jump on it. Take care of business on the road and makes you feel good. You and I have always talked about this. 30 at home, 20 on the road. If you can take care of business at home and win 30 and you can win 20 on the road somehow, some way, oh my gosh, you've won 50 games. That's a magic circle.
And that would be doing it in the math in my head. That would be a plus +9 in the standings. 11 home losses and 20 road wins. So let's talk about San Antonio, the Spurs themselves. We've discussed Wemby a little bit, but Stephon Castle, the reigning rookie of the year, is on an absolute heater right now. Compiling, he had a triple double last night. He's racking up assists. He's scoring himself, and I just really like this guy.
Kev, what do you give him, about 6'4 or 5?
Yeah, he's around there.
Somewhere? Now, I follow the guys from back east more close than the rest of the country.
Still Huskies.
And he was in a Husky, a UConn guy. And you know what? I saw the athleticism, but I didn't know the decision-making was there. Ooh. Boy, this guy, he and Wemby are close. They really have connected. They run a beautiful two-man game, and this guy can really defend. So he's got it all. His shooting will just keep on improving. But we got to touch on this fact. We talked about Wemby. We're talking about Castle. Now Fox comes back, and the statement was made the other day: stop trying to fit in and be you. Just be you, who you are. Don't be worrying now about all the what's going on here. And then they haven't even had Harper out there, the rookie from Rutgers.
Yeah, he's missed the last few games, and he's been good too.
Yeah, now I he's got a big talent level. We know his dad, Ron, and this guy's got a big upside. And Kev, you've made a number of times points about their role guys. They got some guys there that are strong, that are tough. They stay within themselves and help you win.
Yeah, I mean, Devin Vassell, I really like him. Jeremy Sohan, the former Baylor Bear. Of course, we all know about Harrison Barnes and the time he had with – I mean, he's shooting like 50% from three on the season, or he was coming into the last game. I mean, I think this team is a top six team in the West in San Antonio. Where do you feel about how they stand in the Western Conference pecking order?
I'm not gonna argue with you. They got a shot to be there. I think we got those top two that are going to be alone. Yeah. And Houston should have a good record. I'm really shocked with Minnesota. I thought those were going to be the top four. But we could talk about those top two. You know, the Clippers, they're struggling. You know, who else? The Dallas we were going to put in there. You know what? Why not? You know, that's why the Warriors, the Lakers, when they get LeBron back, these veteran teams, they've got a shot to be in there. Life's a lot easier when you can get into that top six.
Yeah, it certainly is. Get out of the play-in. You get that week of rest between the end of the regular season and the playoffs, and that is huge. So what do you think needs to carry over for Golden State on Friday from last game, Saint? Because, it'd be great if Steph goes for 46, but you can't expect him to go for 46 in back-to-back games.
No, but he'll probably give you 30 because I think he's feeling really good about his game right now. But I'm talking about the young guys. You know, we talked about Moody. We talked about Podzimski. I don't know if Post is going to get many minutes now. I like the way Davis has been playing, but those young guys are going to have to give you 12 to 16 points. I think that's really, really important. And I think Draymond gets really, really fired up for these challenges. This is big.
Oh, yes.
My man, Raymond Ritter, I love him doing that. That's vintage Raymond. I wish all the Warrior fans could meet him. He just makes me smile. He's Mr. Positive. And so you look at your team and you say, hey, Jimmy, I don't need five threes. Maybe you can just give me two. And I think the Spurs looked and say, man, these guys are smart. They really know how to play the game. And I think that's going to be a big key. Take care of the ball, rebound, get some transition points.
Yeah. No, getting out in transition would be key, especially since they've, on the other side,
run away from Wemby.
Getting away from Wemby attacking the rack when he's not in there. Wembanyama only had one block last night, and it was like a partial block of a Draymond three. I think that keeps his streak going. It's like 90-something straight games with a block for Wembanyama. I mean, he leads the NBA in blocks per game by a mile.
5.5 a game. Kev, 5.5 a game.
Are you talking blocks per game for Wemby?
Yeah. Now, this will take him down with one, but I got to tell you, as much as we love watching Steph, watching this guy, Kev, did I see this right? He was on the right side. He was about 12 feet out. He took one step, and I almost thought he gave us a George Gervin finger roll. I saw one kind of roll off his hand like this and kind of had to spin and touch the rim, and I said, one thing I can do, finger roll. I loved him.
The Iceman. Another San Antonio great, George Gervin. You mentioned Mitch Johnson a few minutes back, and I just got to share this story because I was a manager at Stanford when Mitch was a player. His birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks. He's like 12 days older than me, 11 or 12 days older. November 29th is his birthday. And you could tell from when he was a freshman at Stanford. He was a starting point guard as a freshman at Stanford for a guy in Trent Johnson who – he kind of had like the Doc Rivers rookie mentality. Like he wasn't just going to hand freshman playing time unless they really, really deserved it. Mitch, he has had a coach's mind. I mean, his dad, JJ Johnson, played in the NBA.
That was his dad.
Yeah. John Johnson. Yeah. That was that's his father. Comes from the basketball background, just such a smart dude. He's always had it together up here, with respect to just knowing the game, really good dude. Couldn't be happier for him. And he has himself in a really nice situation there.
How would you like to inherit, you get Wemby and now these other three guys?
That's not bad.
Mess it up, young Stanford guy. He's got a bright future. I'm happy for him.
Yeah. So I take it you coached against his father, yeah? He was right around that time?
Yeah, his father, great guy. Yeah, really good guy. His dad, you know, was a good player.
Supersonics, probably, right?
He played for Lenny. Played for Lenny
That's
Wilkins.
Rest in peace to Lenny Wilkins. Really sad news,
Kevin,
this week.
I mean, can tell you. Yeah, I can tell you that's one of the most class guys I've ever met in my 45 years in the NBA. Unbelievable person. And boy, he was a heck of a player. Now, again, Providence College. Grew up in New York City, in Brooklyn. And he'd smile at you, and you'd go to the scouting report and you'd say, now don't let him get to his left. Keep him, push him to the right. Nobody could stop him. He always got to the left. He was amazing. And then the cool thing about him, along with Bill Russell, they had the most success as player coaches.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he came across. I was a before I was a Warriors fan once you drafted Antoine Jameson, that's like when I became a Warriors fan. Before I was a Warriors fan, I was a Hawks fan, and Lenny Wilkins was the head coach of the Hawks. So I have fond memories. Lenny Wilkins leading them to a one seed in the 93-94 season when they hadn't really accomplished a whole lot the previous few years. I mean, they were like a first, second-round team. Of course, they had those battles with the Celtics in the 80s. Dominique Wilkins just couldn't quite get over the hump. But
How about the Kev, how about the game with Dominique and Bird?
Yeah, 88 game 7 Eastern Conference semis.
Remember that?
Classic game.
Look at, now I'm not a good tech guy, but all our basketball fans, Google that one, check it out. It's one of the all-time great playoff games.
Yeah, no, it really was. Boston just eking that one out. So the Pelicans on Sunday, and as good of a start of the season as it's been for San Antonio, you could say the same in reverse for New Orleans. I mean, they started 0-6. They've steadied the ship somewhat, but there's just been a lot of bad juju around this team just from the Derrick Queen trade, impressive rookie, but the people have been complaining about the process, giving up an unprotected first-round pick. But Derrick Queen, I will say, had a really good game last night. I called one of his high school games at Montverde. He was teammates with Cooper Flagg. Yeah, when they came out to Vegas a couple of Decembers ago. I really like Derek Queen. Maybe they didn't need to give up a unprotected first round pick for him.
Yeah.
But still, that's kind of what they're looking at. And you mentioned Zion's had the hamstring, hopefully coming back soon. From my perspective, Golden State, you look at the Indiana loss on the road and be like, all right, we've been through this. This ain't happening again.
Good call. I hear you. I don't know what's going to happen down there. Willie Green's a great guy, and it's like looking at the Kings right now. It just, if you're in the Western Conference, if you're not fully loaded and have the key guys ready to go, it's a struggle.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, and this is just bad luck for the Pelicans, but the day before Game 7, they gave the Pacers their pick back. And you look the NBA Finals last year, and you look at what's going on with Indiana right now. They're trailing Phoenix by 15. They've won one game this year. Of course, we all know which team they defeated. But for a team that is, for a season that's gotten off to this, I'll try not to break the secret too much, Saint. But for a season that's gotten off that bad of a start for the 1-10 Pacers, and literally if the Pelicans had waited 48 more hours, maybe that goes different. I mean, hindsight's 20/20 there, right? Like you're not expecting their best player to tear his Achilles in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. You can't make moves like that. But it's just kind of like a really hard luck thing that the Pelicans had to deal with.
No, you're right on. And hey, you feel bad for guys that are coaching or maybe don't have the talent that they need. But this is a tough business, and you got to go out there and take care of business if you're the Warriors. Just go out there and do what you need to do and get the win and then head on to Florida. And we talked about the injuries with those teams. I do think Orlando's playing a lot better. They were struggling there for a while. I was beginning to question whether their roster was conducive to the change in the game because they played a very physical half-court game. And the game has really opened up a lot. And you got to have wing players that can go up and down. But they have the potential to be a darn good team. And you got to respect any team that's coached by Eric Spoelstra. He ran a late-game play, Kev, for a dunk this week. Look that one up, all you guys that are fans.
Oh, yeah. It was the backdoor.
Everybody in the NBA that's coaching, you're exactly right. You're writing down that play, and you got that in your late-game play situation. That was beautiful.
That was awesome. Andrew Wiggins, who's had a really nice start to the season in Miami, by the way.
That
was a crazy game against Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell hits like the rainbow three. I thought he might have been out of bounds. Yeah. and then you have that alley-oop buzzer beater, which was incredible.
Oh, that was great.
So that's what's coming up for the Warriors. You got the Spurs on Friday, Pels on Sunday, and then another back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday in Orlando and Miami before they come back home to face the Portland Trail Blazers in NBA Cup game. That just about does it for us, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Big thank you to the saintly one himself, Mark Grandy, for running the show behind the scenes. Big thank you to Bob in Reno for calling in, R.C. Davis and Marika Cleto on the Warriors side of things. For Gary, I'm Kevin saying sayonara. We will talk to you next Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.